My name is Jody Wrigley with J. Wrigley Vineyards. I am co-owner and director of sales and marketing. Learn more about our wines at www.wrigleywines.com.
Hi, I'm John Wrigley. I wear many hats at J. Wrigley Vineyards. I am the winemaker, vineyard manager, also often referred to as the chief tractor driver, and I love where we live. It's a fabulous place. You can learn more about us at wrigleywines.com.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
Today we're going to meet a brand new Oregon producer, new to us on iWine Radio because we've never had a conversation with them before, and that is Jody and John Wrigley, and they are the founders of J. Wrigley Vineyards, located in Sheridan, Oregon, and their wines are in the McMinnville AVA of Yamhill County, Willamette Valley in Sheridan, Oregon. And McMinnville is also the home of the International Pinot Noir Festival. The Wrigley family purchased 200 acres of prime vineyard land in 2006 and planted their first Pinot Noir in the beginning of 2008. 6 acres of Pinot, 1 acre of Chardonnay, 1 acre of Riesling, 1 acre of Pinot Gris. And what I was able to taste here recently and currently available for sale is the J. Wrigley Vineyards 2012 J. Wrigley Vineyards MAC Cuvée Pinot Noir, the J. Wrigley Vineyards 2011 J. Wrigley Vineyards Proposal Block Estate Pinot Noir Extended Barrel Age, and the J. Wrigley Vineyards 2012 J. Wrigley Vineyards Proposal Block Estate Pinot Noir. And let's start by asking the two of you, and I'll just see who wants to begin the conversation. Why did you decide that you wanted to get involved with growing grapes and making wine? What were you doing earlier in your careers? And
well, I had a corporate job, but my background was from farming, and shortly out of college, I got the bug on making wine, and so I started experimenting with anything that had sugar in it could be fermented, and gradually was able to start acquiring grapes from growers in California and just continued to expand my knowledge, and from there blossomed the dream that it would be nice to have a vineyard where you controlled the quality from the beginning all the way to the end product, and so that really was the driver behind it.
That it makes total sense. And Jody, I understand you were born in San Francisco.
Yes.
You were raised in Washington, and you're a graduate of University of Arizona.
Exactly. And I was living in Arizona when I met John here in Oregon wine tasting.
Oh, wow.
And as I always say, I'm the drinker of, I taste our wines, I love them, and I fell in love with the man and his dream. So that is why our proposal block Pinot is called that, because John proposed to me at the top of 200 acres.
Oh, wow.
And the dream continues. So I didn't know much about Pinot Noir at the time. I was much more of a Cab, Chardonnay, big Zin fan. And okay. Then when we came to Oregon, just completely fell in love with the elegance of the wine, and of course the romantic story of how we met, it doesn't hurt. So
John, were you born and raised in Oregon?
No, I was born and raised on a farm that my family had homesteaded.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, in fact, an interesting little story. Our label, the Connected JW, is actually a cattle brand from my family.
Oh, wow. Does your family still have that?
Yes. The old original homestead is still there, and family is still farming it. That's from 1906.
Oh, my gosh. And, Jody, what you're doing now, this journey that you're on right now, making wines and growing grapes with your husband at J. Wrigley Vineyards, it's like, how could you have even imagined beginning with studies in sociology and gerontology? And I've never seen anybody's bio saying that they studied gerontology. So, like, were you really, really close to your grandparents? I mean, why were you interested in that?
Yeah, I actually just have always had that desire to work with seniors, and worked with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's patients while I was in college, and then did senior services after that. And we, at this point now, some of our donations that we do We go to assisted living homes and we'll pour our wines there for folks.
Oh, wow.
So we have a big spirit of generosity and donation within the community, and that's one of the ways we give back.
I want to focus the majority of our conversation Pinot Noir, but I don't want to be remiss and mention also that the Riesling and the Pinot Gris, even though you're sold out of both of those right now, right?
Our 2013 Pinot Gris just released.
Oh.
So, and it is absolutely just really crisp and more on the dry style, but the fruit is there, great acidity, and we're serving it at a festival this weekend, and it goes very well with seafood.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, heaven.
And you also make a dry rosé from your Pinot Noir, but it's sold out.
The rosé is actually a reflection of the growing season, because if we have a very warm year, then we get high sugar in the grape, and if we allow too much alcohol into a wine with a delicate wine like a rosé, it can be too alcoholic. And so we allow, through tasting and your sensory perception, the wines to dictate what the vintage was. And so this year, it's off dry.
Okay.
And just released as well. And very, very beautiful, yes.
And is your Chardonnay, do you age it in oak, or is it an un-oaked, no-oak Chardonnay?
Well, this year will be our first harvest. Unfortunately, we donated the majority of last year's harvest to the migratory birds going through the area. and so we look for a barrel-fermented style, but not as much new oak contribution that you see in a lot of wines. We like it.
Okay.
I think it expresses the fruit a little bit better if there's not as much oak.
I totally agree. Now, on your website, you are very detailed about the type of soils, a lot about the interaction with the sun, you know, the slope, the facing of, to the sun, and clones, and a lot more information than other wineries have up on their websites. And one thing that I think that struck me is particularly interesting, and that is the fact that, for instance, this Mac Cuvée Pinot Noir is on its own rootstock, its own rooted?
Yes, there's probably still over half of the vineyards in Oregon that are on their own rootstock.
Really?
And phylloxera has started to show up in the area, but not to the extent of in California. In the early years of the wine industry in Oregon, which is only about 35 to 40 years old, everything was planted from just cuttings. And so the vineyards that were planted to the fruit that we got for our Mac Cuvée is own-rooted vines. And then for our vineyard, we have planted grafted vines.
Okay, because you're thinking ahead.
Well, eventually you're going to get phylloxera because with the workers traveling in and equipment, you know, a little chunk of dirt can fall off of, you know, a piece of equipment that has a bug in it, and that will eventually work its way into your fields. And so you may end up replanting after 10 or 15 years.
You also have decided that your vineyards are dry farmed. What has this year, this past harvest and the harvest before, have you been also suffering with drought like in California?
Well, yes, we have had less water, but in a typical winter, we'll get approximately 35 inches of rain where we are. And so a vine will use about 2 to 3 inches of water in a month. And so if we are able through the course of the summer to get even just a single rainstorm, we're fine. And so even though that we are dry farmed, we can go about 3 months without rain and have adequate soil moisture that we don't have any issues with the vines.
Okay. Now, Jody, are the wines from J. Wrigley Vineyards in national distribution? Do you deal with any three-tier systems, or should people, basically the main way to procure your wines is through the website?
Yeah, we do. I'm going to say 98% of our sales direct to customer through our website. And actually, every single bottle has a cell phone number on it. That would be mine. and any info at jwrigleyvineyards.com will come directly to me.
Okay.
And yes, we handle all of our sales personally and directly.
And how many cases are you guys at? Like 3,000 cases?
No, under 1,000.
Oh my heaven.
Yes, we are boutique extreme.
Whoa.
That would be for the Pinot Noir only. We that's not touting or Gris and
Okay.
Rosé.
Which are very small productions.
Very small production. I would imagine, yes.
Which is why the Rosé and the Pinot Gris and the Riesling will all sell out probably within about a four-month period. So this is the time to get those varietals.
Mm. Well, as I was saying to you before we started recording, I'm going to finish on this note because we're basically at the end of the segment. Mm-hmm. The J. Wrigley Vineyards Pinot Noirs are so full of fruit, and they are intense in a feminine way from the start all the way to the end. There's no slacking off in the middle and in the finish. Your wines are very, very, very beautiful representations of Pinot Noir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We will have links up for you to learn more and order the wines from J. Wrigley Vineyards. And the website is jwrigleyvineyardsplural.com. You're listening to Wine and Dine. You're listening to iWine Radio.